I'm Kim Carson. I'm so happy you found my podcast, Conversations with Kim. Whether I'm having a conversation with a celebrity, an author, history maker, record breaker, or the average everyday person, we all have a story to tell. And maybe that story just might change another person's life. We can learn so much from each other. Let us discover some of life's most valuable lessons with today's guest on Conversations with Kim. Today, my conversation is with actor, musician, playwright Jeff Daniels, who will be appearing at the historic Kalamazoo State Theater. Oh, man, such beautiful acoustics in that room. On November 3rd, and he is there with, is it the Ben Daniels Band, right?
That's right.
Well, you know, I know you have a history of playing in clubs and old, beautiful, historical buildings and opera houses. Why is that?
The acoustics. I like the intimacy of a club. Kalamazoo State Theater, of which I've played a few times before, is as big as we want to go. But like you said, the acoustics are so great, and this is an acoustic show. A lot of acoustic guitars, fiddle, mandolin, harmonies. I really enjoy that. That kind of venue more than, say, the bigger performing arts centers.
Yeah, and you're not going to be playing too far from home. You still call Chelsea your home?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Yeah, we do.
And you have the Purple Rose Theater. Why did you do that? What is it all about?
The theater is basically was a give back to the 21-year-old actor I used to be. And we're 26 years later, we're doing professional work that you really could drop what we do at 8 o'clock every night in New York and we would hold up.
Wow. Is it true that you started your apprentice program there because of something that you did as an apprentice?
I was an apprentice when I moved to New York City in 1976. I apprenticed at the Circle Repertory Company off Broadway. And when I moved home about 10 years later and then a few years after that, when I started the theater, that was a big part of the education of of what a theater could do, and taking young people, exposing them, and throwing them right into a production on all facets, technical, behind the scenes, as well as understudying and on stage. You learn real fast whether you want to be an actor or not.
Yeah, I guess when you're wearing all those different hats, right?
Yeah, it's something I had to do. So anyone who's even considering it that, if they come through the Purple Rose, they'll come out the other end with a better understanding of what it means.
Oh, I love it. You know, your first film, Ragtime, came out in 81, and then 13 years later, it was you and Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. When you first got started, Jeff, what was your goal? I mean, how did you see your life going?
I wanted to sustain an acting career for as long as I could, thinking that it would eventually end before you wanted it to, because that's how it goes. You're never in control of it. And it lasted far longer than I thought it would. And even after moving to Michigan, which was me kind of preparing for it to be over, it kept going. And then with things like Dumb and Dumber and later on Broadway, and then the Newsroom, it's turned into what I dreamed would be, which is a career that lasted decades.
Yeah, I read something. I think it was in 76, if my memory's serving me right. You did something. I mean, when I was reading your history, it seemed completely irrational. But did you have a vision? I'm talking about your trip when you kind of picked up everything.
When I picked up everything.
Yeah, moved to New York City.
Yeah, that was to leave a small town at 21 years old, to drop out of Central Michigan University before your senior year because you had an opportunity to be an apprentice in an off-Broadway theater company, a reputable one, Circle Rep, was the name of it. That was, you don't see a lot of kids in the Midwest, small-town Midwest, you know, packing up the car and moving to New York City. It was a leap.
You know, and I got to tell you, I love this in researching, you know, your other son, I think his name is Lucas, right?
Lucas is our tour manager,
And he takes so many beautiful photos of all of you. I had to look up who he was. But you've woven your son, Ben, into the program, and I love that he's not opening for you. So tell me a little bit about him, his band, and how you kind of wove him in, because that's really the word.
In high school, he was into hockey and girls, and you know, I said, if you ever want to learn guitar, let me know, and he kind of nodded. And it wasn't until he was about 19 that he walked into the room and said, all right, I'm ready. Ready for what? Teach me the guitar. And I don't, he's 32 now. I don't think he's had a guitar out of his hands since.
Wow.
He then went to school to be a sound engineer. He started his own band. I said, if you're going to do that, write your own stuff, which he's done. He's turned into kind of a poet. And we have a recording studio here in Chelsea now that Ben and Luke work out of, a little company called 2188 that does video and audio stuff. So it's become careers for both of them, and I couldn't be more proud or excited to work with them.
So, Jeff, what does playing guitar do for you?
It's an escape. It's also a creative outlet. Certainly when I bought a guitar in Ann Arbor at Herb David's Guitar Store in 1976, threw it in the back of the car and took it to New York and figured I'd learn how to play because, rightly so, there were weeks and months between phone calls when someone would call and want you to be an actor. Well, in the meantime, you can either go insane or take that creativity you got and find another outlet. And the guitar and songwriting became that for me.
Yeah, because in learning more and more about you, it seems like you are a true artist. And I'm just curious, is it more of a fuller life when you're able to kind of express yourself in all these different ways, the acting, the singing, the playing, the writing?
It comes from the same place, but you have to... If you're going to do that, and fortunately, I've been working and playing on the guitar and writing songs since the late 70s. You got to take after the craft of it. You got to get better at it. You got to work at it. You got to woodshed. You got to do all that stuff that everybody else does. And meanwhile, also do the same thing with acting. And then also, when you get interested in playwriting for your theater, The Purple Rose, you've got to. Let's go to what are the mechanics of playwriting? So it's learning a craft so that you can funnel whatever creativity and imagination you got through that.
Oh, God, that was so well said. And I think I read somewhere where it said the guitar was a road into an artist that you didn't know existed.
Yeah.
It's yeah, I write, too. Do you notice a difference when you type out lyrics or you write in longhand?
Yeah, I will. When I'm writing songs, I still prefer the legal pad next to me.
Yeah, me too.
With the scribbles that sometimes you can read later what you meant, what you wrote, and sometimes you can't. But that's the initial put down of whatever's coming out and for songs. And then I get them in, and then I start working. As writers say, you don't start writing until you start rewriting. And that's the process of writing, which I've been fascinated with since I went to New York and was off Broadway and hanging around all these playwrights. All of these playwrights were walking around rewriting a second act, and I was fascinated by what it was they were doing.
You know, I'm curious, how did your collaboration with Grand Rapids' Brian Vander Ark come to be?
I loved working with Brian because he's so knowledgeable about songs and production and melody and how arrangements can go. I mean, I'm weak in all those areas, but I was able to throw lyrics at him and he would look at them and we'd come back and forth over the email for about, you know, 6 months until we had about 10 or 12 songs and we put it on a CD together called Simple Truths. And it was a joy to work with him because it was such a collaboration and, you know, you didn't finish it until Brian had looked it over and tweaked it and vice versa. I enjoyed that.
Wow. I know you only have a couple minutes left. I just wanted to ask you just a couple more questions. Did Martin Guitar create a guitar for you?
Yeah, which was like, you know, I can die now. I mean, Martin created it's just amazing. I had a guitar, 1934 C2 Archtop that I had bought at Elderly Instruments. Joe Concoli is a luthier up there, at Elderly. He brought me back and said, look, it's 1934, except the top piece is 2003 because it was broken, so it's a bit of a hybrid. You might like it. So I bought it. Played it out for 10 years, took it to Martin. Martin saw it, said, we don't have this. And then they said, why don't we make a custom artist Jeff Daniels edition and see if it sells? And I'm going, you know, I think I fell to my knees and wept openly.
You know, Jeff, I know your music comes from an experience where you've had something, you've seen something, you've done something. And where did your song, Now You Know You Can, tell me the inspiration for that.
Now You Know You Can was written about the day that we shot the Northwestern speech on the first episode of Newsroom. It's a speech that will outlive myself and Aaron Sorkin. Whatever YouTube is 50 years from now, it'll be up there. And it was, I worked so hard on that speech because when I got that speech, I looked at it and said, I've been waiting my entire career for this speech.
Wow.
So I worked so hard on it, and then I went in, and the first take, I nailed it. And there's a huge sigh of relief. And then the script supervisor came up who'd been helping me memorize it. And she came up and whispered in my ear, now you know you can do it.
Mm. Wow. And, you know, you also wrote a song with your son on the very last day of one of your tours. And you actually put it in the set, which is amazing. It's Never Gone Before. What's that song say?
That we actually, yeah, we finished writing it at the sound check for the Kalamazoo State Theater a few years ago. That was the last gig on the tour, and we played it for the first time like 3 hours later. I remember screwing up the lyrics, so we started it over, which the audience loved.
Oh, yeah.
They go, oh, my God, we're in this together. It is new.
And, right.
But Never Gone Before was kind of a summary of that trip of a lifetime, and it's being... I remember Ben saying, you know, please don't take a movie. Let's really do this tour. Mm. And I said, okay. And we did it, and I'm thrilled we did it. And it was a West Coast swing. We put 10,000 miles on the vehicles in 5 weeks.
Wow.
And came into Kalamazoo, and it was just a kind of, we're going to go where we've never gone before. A tour is an adventure, and each night is a new adventure, and that's what this one will be, too.
So when everybody kind of descends on the historic Kalamazoo State Theater November 3rd, what do you want the audience to feel? What can they expect when they come to see Jeff Daniels?
They're going to hear things that maybe they know if they, you know, search the music a little bit, but it's okay. The songs are clear. There's clarity. There are stories around them. I talk to the audience. And there's an emphasis on family on this one. It's an acoustic show. Fiddles, mandolins, acoustic bass, vocals, slide guitar. But it's there's an emphasis on family and the importance of family. That's what this tour is about.
And I think you have Godless also coming up on Netflix, November 22nd, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Big Fat Western on Netflix. They're telling me it's pretty good.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for your time. You know, I've been wanting to talk to you for years. I'm so glad it finally happened. It's my honor. I mean, in researching you, I already knew a lot about you, but there were so many things that I learned. You've worked with so many great directors, Woody Allen, and you worked with one of my favorites, Don Knotts, Clint Eastwood, Mitch Albom. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to talk to me today.
I appreciate it, Kim.
You've been listening to Conversations with Kim. Reach out to me, Kim Carson, via social media on Instagram and YouTube, Kim Carson Now. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, Kim Carson. Listen to my radio show middays on WLAV.com. And each Wednesday, I join the Hot Topics chat segment, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on ABC's Take 5 and Company on WZZM13.com. Listen to more episodes at kimcarson.podomatic.com. Until we meet again, thanks for listening to my podcast, Conversations with Kim.